and the following authors. I see two of our authors. We're missing Senator Morrell. If you can call him, let me know. We're going to start as a subcommittee, and we are going to begin with Senator Allen. The first item, members, is SB 933. Please come forward. Senator Allen, good morning. Good
morning, everybody.
The floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members. I'm excited to present SB 933 today, which will fund teacher residency programs for California and help address our teacher shortage, saving the state money by increasing retention rates of new teachers. So folks know that we've got a serious teacher shortage in the state. And of course, it's something that's extraordinarily frustrating for all of us who were served on school boards and went through all of the cutbacks that we all had to go through a few years ago. We had a big hearing at the Senate Education Committee just about a month ago, and we talked about the current teacher shortage. And one of the core issues, one of the core challenges, is the issue of retention. You know, it turns out that 67% of teachers leave the workforce each year for reasons other than retirement. And one of the core issues at the heart of the retention problem is the issue of support. Teachers not feeling as though they're given adequate support, and they're oftentimes thrown into some of the most challenging teacher situations, teaching environments, and then, of course, not provided with a great deal of support. And in fact, the interesting thing is that every teacher who leaves imposes a financial cost of approximately $18,000 on the school district. Now, how does that play out? Well, it's because the school district has to then go, there's a lot of training associated, there's a lot of time and attention put into teacher recruitment, there's time and attention put into teacher mentoring and staff support. And so there's actually a cost associated with this high turnover rate that we have, and that money could be going to better causes. And we seek to address this issue by funding teacher residencies. And this is something that's been widely studied. We discussed at the Education Committee hearing some very successful teacher residency programs in Cincinnati and Columbus and Toledo and Rochester, New York. There's some right here in California as well. And they've actually been found to reduce beginning teachers' attrition rates by more than two-thirds. And the key to success was providing expert mentors with release time to coach beginners in their first year in the job. But all of these residency programs pale in comparison to what they've been able to do in San Francisco, which has a retention rate of nearly 97% of its teachers in this residency program. We've got the program's executive director, Jonathan Osler, here to go into more detail on their success. But at the core, this is an issue that relates to the high cost of teacher retention, the high cost of teacher recruitment, the loss that we have when we lose so many of these great young teachers who want to come into the system, and providing them with really high quality support that they need. So we're going to hear from Jonathan.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
My name is Jonathan Osler. I'm the executive director of SFTR, the San Francisco Teacher Residency, and I'm here to express my strong support for SB 933 and the establishment of the California Teacher Corps. Since 2010, SFTR has run a teacher residency in partnership with the San Francisco Unified School District, Stanford, the University of San Francisco, and our local teachers union. Most teacher credentialing programs require only 425 hours of student teaching, and internship programs give inexperienced and non-credentialed people the keys to our classrooms. Consequently, many of the teachers they produce are not adequately prepared to implement district-specific initiatives or meet the unique needs of their students. Furthermore, 50% of traditionally prepared teachers and interns quit within their first 5 years, and this has devastating consequences on our schools and students. By contrast, the San Francisco Teacher Residency places aspiring teachers in high-need schools in San Francisco, and they complete 1,700 co-teaching hours over the course of a full year while simultaneously earning a teaching credential and a master's degree. In exchange for financial incentives and ongoing coaching, our residents commit to teaching in the same high-need schools for at least 3 years. 100% of the residents from our first graduating class, now in their fifth teaching year, are still teaching. 90% of them are working in San Francisco schools. 96% of our graduates are teaching in high needs schools and subject areas. And all of our current STEM teachers, math and science teachers, are women and or people of color, groups traditionally underrepresented in these fields. And while teacher preparation numbers have plummeted in the past 10 years, our applicant pool has doubled since 2014. So I just wanted to make the point that investing in teacher residencies is an investment in our state's most marginalized young people, as well as our teachers. And I'll give you three reasons why I feel that way. First, by more effectively preparing and incentivizing teachers to persist in high-need schools, as we retain them instead of losing them, millions of dollars can be reallocated back into the schools and to the students who need that money the most. Secondly, because districts that are involved with residencies are helping to train their future teachers, residency graduates enter the classroom day one ready to enact district-specific social and academic initiatives rather than needing to learn those over the first year on the backs of their students. And then third, residencies are in a great position to leverage additional resources. So for example, we've been fortunate to receive support from AmeriCorps, from local philanthropic organizations, from the National Education Association, and our residents received tuition remission from our partner universities. So I feel that by supporting this bill, you have a really unique opportunity to transform teacher preparation in the state of California and ensure that all of our young people have access to truly high-quality teachers who are committed to staying at their schools. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional witnesses in support of this item?
Mr. Chairman and members, Brendan Tuig on behalf of EdVoice. We think this makes sense. It's smart policy, but also makes sense from a fiscal perspective as outlined by the author, and we appreciate him bringing this forward. So we're in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Sue Vang on behalf of State Superintendent of Public Instruction, also in support. Addressing the teacher shortage is one of the superintendent's priority this year. So I just support when this.
Thank you. Mira Morton here on behalf of the California Chamber of Commerce, also in support. We think this is a great investment for our state and in our teachers, the most important element of our school system. Thanks.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Brendan Murphy with the Department of Finance. Implementation of this bill is contingent upon an appropriation for its purposes, either in the annual budget act or another statute. This bill would likely result in an estimated cost pressure of $20 million, Proposition 98 general fund annually if approximately 665 teachers statewide received the maximum annual participant grant amount of $30,000. In addition, the Department of Education, it would cost $101,000 general fund and 0.7 positions initially, and $158,000 general fund and 1.2 positions ongoing for the implementation, administration, and oversight of the bill. In addition, $330,000 general fund would be needed to conduct the evaluation the bill requires.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from our subcommittee so far? Okay. Senator Allen, would you like to close?
I think this is an issue that is really impacting our school system, and I think we've come up with an innovative way of helping to address this challenge, and I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Allen. This is a candidate for suspense, but we'll establish quorum first. Okay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Laura?
Here.
Laura here. Bates? Here. Bates here. Bell? De Leon? Hill? Here. Hill here. Mendoza? Nielsen? Here. Nielsen here.
We have quorum, and without objection, we'll move this item to a suspense file. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you, Senators. Thank you so much.
The next item we have is members is SB 937 by Senator McGuire. Senator McGuire, the floor is yours.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Chair. Hope you had a great weekend. I want to first start out by saying thank you to yourself and to your fantastic committee for the diligence and hard work preparing the analysis. Senate Bill 937, the Lake County Fires Disaster Relief Act, is a district-focused bill that would help the people of Lake County, the poorest county in the state of California, who recently suffered through the third worst fire in California state history, the Deadly Valley Fire. This bill would fund 100% of the non-federal financial disaster assistance. During a federally recognized disaster, the feds come in and fund 75% of the disaster response costs. The state picks up 18%, and the local government then comes in and is supposed to pick up the final 7%. Through this bill, the state would cover the full local share, which is estimated to be approximately $2 million. The Deadly Valley Fire scorched 76,000 acres and caused $1.2 billion in damage. It destroyed 1,330 homes and nearly 1,900 businesses and agricultural buildings were lost. The communities of Middletown, Anderson Springs, and Cobb were nearly wiped off the face of the earth. Now, prior to the fire, Lake County already struggled. Unemployment rate is twice the state average, and the county's poverty rate is twice the national average. SB 937 would be a lifeline to a community who has already suffered through so much. In the analysis, the consultants recognize that this course of action for disaster relief has not been successful since 2006. However, they also recognize that the state was in a much more difficult place financially when the last request was advanced. It was brought forward in the depth of the recession. The Great Recession was difficult for everyone, and the County of Lake, frankly, continues to recover. But California's economy is once again strong, and now is the time to reinvest in our communities who are facing great odds from a disaster that shook lives to the core. And while $2 million may not sound like a hell of a lot in the entire picture of California's budget, this one-time investment will help a county that is in desperate need of assistance to recover, rebuild, and thrive, and would respectfully ask for an aye vote, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Alice Kessler. I'm here on behalf of Calpine Corporation. Our geothermal operations at the geysers is one of the largest employers in Lake County, and we're very happy to support this bill. Many of our employees lost their homes in these devastating fires, and we urge the state to do what it can to help the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support.
Kirsten Kolpicki with the California Forestry Association in support of the bill. Lake County was devastated last year by three major wildfires, the Rocky, Jerusalem, and Valley. In addition to the fires, Lake County also suffered from, as the center stated, higher than average poverty levels and unemployment at twice the national average. We believe that the disaster assistance is warranted and is appropriate in this instance for the state to cover the share of costs usually borne by the local jurisdictions.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support.
Mr. Chair, Chris McKaylee on behalf of the Humboldt and Mendocino Redwood Company is also in support of the bill.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
No file, Mr. Chair.
No file on this item. Comments or questions from committee? Senator Nielsen.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just lend my voice to Senator McGuire's bill, as a former representative of that county for many, many years, I'm intimately aware of it. It is a landlocked county as well. And a county that, to what degree it had any economic buoyancy, it was largely dependent on tourism. And the devastation of that fire will not maybe permanently, but for a very long time, put a dent in the attraction and tourism ability of that county. The point being, Lake County is going to have a long time to recover from the devastation of that or those serious fires. And I went up there and saw the impact of those fires on those families.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, Senator McGuire, would you like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to say thank you to the Senator for all of his work on behalf of Lake County for many years. And Mr. Chair, would respectfully ask for an aye vote and appreciate the time to be able to present.
Thank you. This item is up for suspense. So without objection, we'll move it to the suspense file. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you.
I believe we see Senator Morales here. SB members, this is SB 1081. Senator Morales, SB 1081. You may begin. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. Mr. Chair, members. Good morning. SB 1081 reduces sports fishing and hunting license for all honorably discharged veterans. California currently has the highest license fees in the United States. SB 1081 offers an opportunity to honor our state's veterans by reducing the price for these recreational activities that encourage family bonding and act as a form of therapy. Regarding the cost of the bill, as the prices of fishing and hunting license have gone up, participation has gone down. Today, we're at the lowest participation rate in 30 years. So lowering the price for vets will regard in greater participation, we believe, by vets, their friends, as well as their families, which usually results in increased revenue. I read that in one hunting magazine or fishing that the average
person, when he first goes out or she goes out to fish, that by the time they drive to their location, buy a license, all the gear, and if they catch a fish, it's about $700. So, but of course, that's, you know, for food and groceries and because they didn't catch enough fish. But anyway, revenues do go up. By lowering price, so as more licenses are purchased, the department will mitigate some of the losses caused by reduced fees. In addition, federal conservation funds are granted to the department based on purchases of fishing and hunting equipment. As more veterans, along with their families and friends, purchase equipment, this revenue should increase. Increasing the number of participants will help businesses and the department alike. Our veterans do deserve to make up some of the countless hours of time they've lost with their loved ones while defending our nation. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote, and I'd like to turn it over to Mr. George Osborne from the California Sports Fishing League.
Witnesses in support.
Pardon me. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Witnesses in support. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. George Osborne representing the California Sport Fishing League. First, we want to thank Senator Morrell for carrying this SB 1081. We think it's very important legislation on behalf of anglers as well as veterans. And I want to thank your staff for meeting with us, engaging in dialogue with us, and frankly, a very thoughtful analysis. The California Sport Fishing League is always endeavoring to protect recreational anglers' access to state waters and increasing fishing participation, which in turn increases fishing license sales, tackle sales, and increased revenue to the Department of Fish and Wildlife for their work important to the resource and to anglers. SB 1081, we believe, is an opportunity to increase fishing opportunity, potentially increase revenue to the DFW, all while honoring in some small way those who gave of themselves to protect us. The DFW represents an annual loss of approximately $3 million for this program that would provide free or reduced cost hunting and fishing licenses to honorably discharged veterans, disabled veterans, and recovering service members. DFW assumes without any substantiation that the proportion of veterans in the adult population is the same as the population of veterans who purchase hunting and fishing licenses. These estimates, as clearly stated in the analysis, are not quantifiable, but are only guesses. California's annual sport fishing license sales have declined by 55% since 1980, while our population has increased by 60%. Counting the cost of tags, et cetera, which are in addition to the basic annual sport fishing license, California has one of the highest cost fishing licenses in the nation, providing in real time the economics law of supply and demand. Whenever you charge more for something, you're going to sell less of it. The CSL believes that SB 1081 will increase revenues to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, not decrease them. While I'm here for the California Sport Fishing League, I'm also a Vietnam War combat veteran, where I proudly served my nation as a United States Marine. And on a personal level, I want to thank Senator Morrell for his recognition that not all war wounds are physical, though most of us carry scars from those as well. The question has been raised as to whether or not disabled veterans are struggling with the current $6.95 hunting and fishing fee. I can tell you without question that they are struggling. They're struggling with traumatic brain injury, PTSD, loss of limbs, sight and hearing, disfiguring burns and memories they'd like to forget but cannot. When men come home, men and women come home now from combat, and they quickly shift from combat to a peacetime role, the contrast is stark. It is jarring, and we should do everything we can to ease that transition. Most veterans eventually make that transition, but for many, it is difficult. When I came home from Vietnam, I went fishing. I grew up fishing, and that was my grounding. Fishing provided a secure space to think and, importantly, to process back into society. Fishing provided normal to my life. I remember fishing with my mother and brother when I came back. They're both now passed away. I wanted their company and presence, so I didn't feel so all alone. In the case of SB 1081, we can make access to sport fishing more affordable for our veterans, while we believe increasing participation in the sport overall, which will result in more license sales to veterans, their family members, and friends, and more fishing equipment sales, which will mean more dollars invested in wildlife conservation by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. SBA 1081 has no opposition, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you. While the intent of this bill is meritorious, the Department of Finance opposes this bill because it reduces revenue for the Fish and Game Preservation Fund and the Hatchery and Inland Fisheries Fund, both of which are structurally imbalanced with an annual expenditure exceeding annual revenues at this point. The department estimates a loss of over $3 million in revenue for the insurance issuance of free or reduced fee sport fishing and hunting licenses. Assuming that 6.24% 2.4%. Apparently, I have trouble with numbers today, Mr. Chair. Assuming that 6.24% of licensees would be veterans, this includes a total of 121,000, as the witness in support stated. The estimate does not include the reduction in fees for hunting tags and fishing report cards, stamps, and other enhancements. Therefore, the full fiscal impact of this bill is likely significantly higher. Those are the major reasons. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Morrell, would you like to close?
Yeah, just, you know, government is there for a purpose and appreciate that. And it's not a loss as we honor our veterans. That's part of what our tax money is to do, as Lincoln said in his second inaugural address, that one of our responsibilities for people who fought for us is to bind up their wounds and care for them, their orphan, and their widow. And so I think this is just a small measure. They gave us the full measure of their devotion. I think this is just a small part to be able to help them and say thank you. So would appreciate an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. This measure is a candidate for suspense. With that objection, we'll move it to suspense file. Thank you so much, Mr. Morrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, we are now going to move through the agenda to allow folks that are in opposition or support and finance to state their public positions on the measures. We're going to begin with SB 817, Senator Roth. SB 817, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition, finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Finance opposes this bill as it creates general fund costs of more than $18 million in its first year of enactment. These costs will annually grow in proportion to the increase in assessed valuation in the four cities. We also note that when the VLF swap mechanism was put in place by Chapter 211, Statutes 2004, SB 1096, state and local government representatives agreed that newly incorporated cities would be permanently ineligible to participate in the VLF swap. This agreement was codified in the statutory VLF swap formulas. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 822, Senator Roth. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
No file, Mr. Chair.
No file. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Liu's items. SB 871, witnesses in support.
Mr. Chair, members, Brendan Tuig on behalf of EdVoice in support.
Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
No file.
No file. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 915, Senator Liu. SB 915, witnesses in support.
Good morning. Danielle Kando Kaiser on behalf of Common Sense Kids Action in support.
Thank you.
Carlos Machado with California School Board Association in support.
Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Department of Finance is opposed to this bill for the following reasons. This bill could create an estimated annual cost pressure of $7 million Proposition 98 General Fund to contract with a local education agency to administer the program and cost approximately $200,000 non-Prop 98 General Fund for state operations and institutional concurrence to support the program. Funding for this initiative is not included in the governor's budget. This bill may be premature because new enrollment and credentialing numbers suggest that the teacher supply is experiencing a positive adjustment without state intervention. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1014. SB 1014, witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Department of Finance opposes this bill for the following reasons. This bill could establish a precedent for allowing other types of excused absences, such as illness or injury, to not be counted as absences for average daily attendance purposes. This bill would likely cost millions of dollars, Proposition 98 General Fund, by authorizing school districts to receive local control funding formula allocations for absent, pregnant, or parenting pupils on parental leave. This bill would likely create a reimbursable state mandate that could cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, Prop 98 General Fund, by requiring schools to notify pregnant and parenting pupils of their rights and options, as well as requiring schools to provide a pregnant pupil with guidelines for makeup work if the option of individualized instruction is not available at the pupil's school or school district. This bill would further create costs for the department to provide technical assistance to local education agencies on attendance accounting for pupils that submit parental leave requests. This bill would also create costs for the Department of Education to provide guidance to local educational agencies providing makeup work plan development to a pupil on home hospital. While the department is unable to quantify the cost at this time, the cost could be tens of thousands of dollars, General Fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to a suspense file. Moving on to Senator Hertzberg's items, beginning with SB 904. SB 904. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Department of Finance is opposed to this bill because it is unnecessary. No county has exercised its authority to opt out of the current waiver. Furthermore, according to the Department of Social Services, no county has indicated it would opt out of the waiver in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Senator Bell.
Just that this is a new federal requirement. It was just established. So I want to point out that the food assistance program, the actual food assistance is provided by 100% federal cost. The state cost is related to the administration, which is split in half. So in my opinion, this would get additional food to people that need food that are impoverished and would benefit our need to reduce our poverty rate, which is the highest in the United States. 25% of Californians are in the poverty. So this would provide more food for those people.
Any additional comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 911. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
No file.
No file. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Galgiani's items, beginning with SB 907. SB 907. Witnesses in support.
Deputy Attorney General Matt Campbell, the Attorney General's office, supports the bill.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
No file, Mr. Chair.
No file on the item. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1182. SB 1182, witnesses in support.
John Lovell, on behalf of the Association for Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs, the Association of Deputy District Attorneys, California Correctional Supervisors Organization, California Narcotic Officers Association, LA County Professional Peace Officers, LA Police Protective League, and the Riverside Sheriffs Association, all in support, all in alphabetical order.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Lovell. Your memory is always very impressive. Additional witnesses in support.
Asha Harris on behalf of the California State Sheriffs Association in support.
Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you. This bill could result in general fund costs that are not included in the administration's current fiscal plan. Additionally, this bill could increase the statewide adult jail population and impact the ability of counties to manage their offender population. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Jackson's item, SB 938. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you. The Judicial Council reports no fiscal impact as a result of provisions in this bill. Any additional requests for resources will be subject to review through the annual budget process. Thank you.
Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Leyva's bill, SB 946. SB 946, witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition? Finance.
Thank you. The Department of Finance opposes this bill for the following reasons. This bill is inconsistent with state policy aimed at improving school attendance. Although serving on a precinct board and working at a polling place can be a valuable experience in civic participation, these activities should augment rather than substitute core instruction funded by the state. Existing law allows students to serve as poll workers during non-school hours without reducing a school district's ADA. Counties have the option to allow poll workers to split shifts or otherwise work part-time to facilitate student participation. This bill creates Proposition 98 general fund costs associated with the excused absences that are not included in the 16-17 governor's budget. This bill could also create pressure to allow school districts to claim ADA funding for all types of absences outside of the independent study program, such as increases in ADA would significantly increase the Proposition 98 guarantee and increase costs within the guarantee by hundreds of millions to low billions of dollars. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, I move this item to suspense file. Moving on to Senator Hill's item, SB 996. 996, witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you. Finance opposes this bill because it creates an annual Proposition 98 general fund cost of approximately $170,000. We note that this bill is nearly identical to SB 678 that was held in Senate Appropriations Committee last year. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to a suspense file. Moving on to Senator Hancock's item, SB 1042. 1042, witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you, Senator. Finance is opposed to this bill for the following reasons. The state preschool program is oversubscribed based on statewide eligibility, expanding the age eligibility for state preschool to allow certain areas of the state to retain contracted preschool funding reduces the amount of funding available to equitably serve similar cohorts of students in other areas of the state. This bill results in Proposition 98 general fund cost pressures of up to $261.1 million to expand access for newly eligible children. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to suspense file. Members are on our final item. That's Senator Runner's SB 1411. SB 1411. Witnesses in support.
John Lovell, California College and University Police Chiefs Association in support.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Thank you. This bill would likely create a reimbursable state mandate that could cost tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars Proposition 98 general fund by requiring schools to post an anti-bullying notification in a common area of the school. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Members, this concludes our agenda. Thank you for your attention today.